Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to have you here with us today. We've got a little bit of a different order of, not an order of service, but different people doing different things today. So just kind of roll with us a little bit today as we kind of switch things up a bit. But I'm going to be doing the announcements for you, and just wanted you to know about some things that are coming up. Just a big picture thing. I want to let you know that as more activity happens around the church here, there's less and less that's going to be spoken from the pulpit. So I want to remind you, as a gentle reminder, that it's important for you to read your bulletin every week. We don't have that in a digital format yet on the webpage or anything, but we're working towards that. But I do want to remind you to look inside the bulletin, because there's a lot of things in there that are relevant. We just don't necessarily announce them on Sunday morning. So all of that said, this afternoon after the service, there is going to be a MLT Mission Leadership Team informational meeting in the fellowship hall at 12:15. And that is an invitation for anyone who is interested in a short-term mission trip this summer. And they'll be giving you some more information about that when you go to that meeting. Also, next Saturday is that right? Yeah, that's right. Okay, next Saturday is the men's breakfast. And so we have a guest speaker coming in, and we've got great food and great time of fellowship. And it's all going to be a lot of fun. Just encourage you to sign up for that as well. On the back of your bulletin, there is a reminder about giving, let you know where we're at in the fiscal year update. And just to give you a sense of an idea of the fiscal year update, a lot of times when you see that, it's going to be pretty close to a month old. And that's just kind of the way our reporting works. So just to let you know, that's where it's at. But always look at the date. So this is an update as of December 31st of 2003. So just kind of the way it works. Sometimes it's a month removed. Sometimes it's a little more than a month removed. But it just gives you a general sense of where we're at, let you know. And just want to encourage you to be generous in your giving, that you would be giving, your giving would be faithful to the ministry of this church. And there are a couple of different ways that you can give. You can give at the wooden boxes in the back by the Welcome Center. You can also give online. There are two ways to give online. One of the ways that you can give is through the old Shelby online system. The other way you can give is through the Church Center app. Just to let you know, the Church Center app is less expensive for us as a church, so we want to try to encourage you, if you can, move over to that giving platform. It's not that either one doesn't work. They work fine, but one of them charges more than the other. So if you could start moving over to the Church Center app, that would be great. But if the other one works for you, we're not gonna be upset about that or anything. So just to let you know, those are your announcements and a reminder of giving. I do want to open this up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be together with friends and other folks that, most of which who do consider themselves to be in a right relationship with you. But there are some among us here even this morning who are struggling in their relationship with you. Their walk with you is not where they want it to be, not where you want it to be. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be mindful of that dynamic. Help us to keep our eyes open to the people around us who might be struggling in their walk with you. And I pray, Lord, that we would be an encouragement and a comfort and a help for them, for everyone, no matter where they are in their relationship with you. We love you, and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
And amen. Good morning, Redeemer. Why don't we stand to our feet and worship together?
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Y'all sing it.
When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Okay, funny story. So this is like, this time is normally called the meet and greet, but me and Alex have been like sort of naming this the sacred kiss. Because in the Bible, Paul does tell one of the churches to greet each other with a holy kiss. But we're not doing that. Just want you to know, we're not doing that. But we call it the sacred kiss, and it's going back to that. But the idea is we just want to greet each other how we normally greet each other. And that would be just go up to somebody, shake their hand, give them a hug, tell them your name, and tell them some good news that you got this week. You got 30 seconds. Go.
All right, now let's return to our places as we take a look at the word for just a moment here. Thank you.
Good morning. This morning we read from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 7. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. This is God's word to us this morning.
Amen. Thank you. Let's dive back into worship together.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. to see you.
All I have needed, thy hands have provided.
Lord unto me. All I've needed. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Sing, there's nothing worth more.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. Lord, and thank you that even though we are undeserving, you give us second, third, fourth, fifth tries, second chances upon second chances, because you are that merciful towards us, and we do not deserve it. God, I pray that no matter what we've been facing this week, that right now we would surrender to you. I pray that we would remember that you are always good, no matter if we are in a valley or we are at a mountaintop, that you are always good. And I pray that we would look towards our neighbor and look for ways that we can love them and be that conduit of love, Jesus, that you're showing us. I pray that we would show that to other people this week. I pray that we would turn back towards you if we've been running from you. And I pray that we would surrender to you this morning. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Blessed are you who are downhearted,
tired and weary,
and in need of something more.
Blessed are you who have had a tough year or season,
perhaps filled with ups and downs,
sorrow and sadness,
misery and mistakes.
You are not alone.
Blessed are you whose dreams have been interrupted,
stomped on, or perhaps just taking too long.
There is a new thing right around the corner.
Blessed are you who don't know what to believe or why you are here today.
But despite that, you keep pushing forward.
Blessed are you who are walking through seasons of prosperity and joy,
celebration and hope.
For you have found something truly worthy of sharing.
You see, sometimes life is just hard.
But blessed are those who seek the Lord in the midst of that darkness.
For there is hope, real, tangible hope found in Him.
So today,
may you be reminded that you were created on purpose and for a purpose.
May you know that God has big plans for you.
Plans to prosper you.
And not to harm you.
May you walk in truth and light so that no matter where you go,
you will have a light unto your path.
May you find rest free from anxiety.
And may His love, which is never ending,
and His grace, which is never failing,
follow you wherever you may go.
For He has come
to make all things new.
Well, good morning. I love communicators who can present a message, a vision, a statement in a very short, kind of catchy, memorable way.
Amen, brother.
That's not happening today. I just said I like those kind of people, right? I like people who can make a statement. A lot of times, it's something someone says right before they die. Sometimes it's funny, you know, the things that are said. And then also the things that people put on gravestones. You may walk through a cemetery and sometimes it just catches the essence, the message. For instance, through time, anybody ever heard of the lady, Lady Astor, who would constantly be in battle with Winston Churchill? I mean, the kind of battles they had was so intense that Lady Astor at one time said to Winston Churchill, "Winston, If you were my husband, I would put poison in your drink. Churchill responded, Miss Astor, if you were my wife, I would drink it. Because before she died, Lady Astor was surrounded by her family, and she was lapsing in and out of consciousness. And as she looked around, all her families around her, and Lady Astor said, either I'm dying, or this is my birthday. There's others like Bob Hope. Everybody remember Bob Hope? Bob Hope with his wife. They couldn't determine where he wanted to be buried. Days before he died, his wife was asking him once again, Bob, where do you want to be buried? And he said, surprise me. There's others, for instance, on tombstones. Anybody remember the great comedian and man of a thousand voices, Mel Blanc, the Bugs Bunny? Everybody remember Mel Blanc? On his tombstone, it summarized his life. It says, that's all, folks. Any of you remember Merv Griffin? Remember the talk show host, Merv Griffin? Anybody remember that guy? Blast from the past. He used to say before he'd go to commercial break, I will be back right after this message. On his tombstone, it says, I will not be back after this message. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's profound. I've been trying to think about how I could capture the essence of my life and put it on a tombstone. And I have not been able to capture it until I came to Redeemer Bible Church. One day I was in the office and Darlene over here was working on the books. And so I came up to Darlene and I said, Darlene, Pastor Forrest said I could have a check for $500. And she said, what? I said, yeah, you got to take it out of the Just Because fund. What? I said, just because I want it. Just write $500. Well, about that time, Forrest walks in. He didn't say anything. He looks at me, looks at her, and says, don't believe anything he says. But you know what she said right after that? She said, boy, you are full of it. You can laugh. That's what she said. Now, I know some of you are saying, you can't say that at church. Well, Darlene did, and about me, thank you very much. No, I think that'd be kind of cool to put on my gravestone. Here lies. In fact, I wrote this up. This is how profound this was, Darlene. Well, mine's going to have that. It says, here lies the body of Bruce Smiley. If in this life I gave you a fit, please forgive me. I was just full of it. Thank you, Darlene. I'm going to put that on my tombstone. You know, there was a master communicator who had the ability to, in a very short, catchy, memorable way, tell us what life is all about and what the local church is to be. Jesus, the master communicator, as you will look on your outline, gave us our marching orders in his earthly ministry and right before he died. He gave us the great commandment and the great commission. And the great commission would be great on his tombstone, but the thing is, he doesn't have one. He's risen. Jesus tells us what you and I are to be about in the local church. And what I would like to do with you today is to contextualize the need and the importance of home small group ministry, which we're calling here Good News Communities. You may have been in Bible studies in homes before. There would be similarity, but there would be differences. But I would first like to contextualize what it's all about. What God wants you and I to be about. Whether you're in a home group or not. And what a church is to be about. Whether it has home groups or not. On one occasion, Jesus was confronted by a Pharisee, an expert in the law. And he intended to trip Jesus up. He was going to ask him a question that the Pharisees were debating. They had over 600 laws of the Old Testament, and they were using their time in the trivial pursuit to determine which parts of the law were important and which parts were secondary, perhaps even tertiary, not as important. And so, as you'll look on in Matthew 22, 37 and 40, that expert asked Jesus, summarize it all. Go ahead. What's it all about, Jesus? In ingenious fashion, Jesus pulls from a well-known verse and one not so well-known and puts them together. Follow along with me. In Matthew 22, Jesus says it like this. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In the book of Mark, the words with all your strength is added because that was a part of Deuteronomy, a part of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the great Shema. That is, you shall love the Lord your God, that one God, not alone. And so when Jesus answered this, it says here that Jesus went on and said, this is the first and greatest commandment. The man listening would no doubt have agreed. That was the marching orders of ancient Judaism. He would agree with that. Jesus was saying, you shall love the Lord your God with everything you've got. That's an amazing statement. He's not compartmentalizing, man. He's just simply saying, with every part of you, from the depth of your being, you are to love God. The word means to also show it, to demonstrate it. It is absolute loyalty and devotion to a person. You shall love God. Our first endeavor is to worship Him. We've ruined it. Worship is a divine obsession. It is a holy addiction. It is the pursuit of God with all we've got. Singing our praises to Him. Hearing from Him. It is a holy addiction. You know how addictions go. My last church, I was surrounded by many young people with heroin addiction. And I would visit them. And sometimes people with me, and they would say, what a tragedy. Yes. But I would tell them, that's worship. Because they're absolutely dependent upon it. It dominates the life, the mind. It takes over. And that is what worship is to be about. Whether we are independent alone or when we gather together to worship. Jesus said, and to the Pharisee looking on would agree with that. But then Jesus pulled from Leviticus 19:18, one of those verses that most likely the Pharisees would have said that's secondary. Because they didn't get that part. They knew the law backward and forward. They knew it intellectually, but it had not changed their lives. They had it here, but it had not sunk down to here. In my Christian pilgrimage through the years, some of the most problematic people that I've dealt with, both inside and outside of the church, knew the Scripture backward and forward, but it hadn't changed their attitude. Their love of God had not translated into the second part where Jesus said, the second which is like it. And essentially you must do the first or you will not consistently do the second. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. In one sense, Jesus saying, you got to love God and you got to love people. You got to serve God, and because of that, you got to serve and minister to people. Two of the great purposes of our life. It is what a church must be about. In its large group setting, in its medium group setting and in its small group setting. But that wasn't all. That was the great commandment. Also, just before Jesus ascended back, he said, and you see on the passage there, Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, given to him by the Father, according to Daniel 7:14. In Luke 10:22, Jesus said, all things have been committed to me by my Father. John the Baptist had said, the Father loves the Son, and he's placed everything in his hands. In that decision-making of the eternal triune God, it was determined that Jesus would be given this authority. Why? Not authority he didn't already have, but it was because he was risen. He had paid the debt, and he rose from the dead to give you and I a receipt. It is, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, the command is to go. That is, as he says here, therefore, as you're going, it is as you are going, as you are loving God and loving people, as you do that, which is worship and service, make disciples of all nations. You truly love me? Don't say you love me if you can't follow the last command I gave you, to intervene in the life of other people, to love them so that they can hear the message of Christ and so they can love him and love people too. Jesus says you must make disciples of all nations. Share the gospel with your life and your lip. Share it in a local church setting. Share it in a large group. Share it outside of the doors. Share it even in a small group. And in the small group we'll be a part of, evangelism will be a very strong emphasis. We will have an empty chair that we will pray to put someone in every week. We're to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are to help individuals come into a relationship with Christ and be willing to stand up publicly and say, I identify with Jesus Christ and I identify with his people unto life and unto death, to be baptized, because it symbolizes what has spiritually went on in the heart. That there has been an immersion of the Spirit of God into a life, and one has been cleansed from the penalty of sin, given the power to deal with sin, and praise God, one day to be removed from its presence entirely. That's what we say to people. When we get baptized, it's not perfunctory, it's not a ritual. It is standing up and saying, I joined the club. I'm on his team. I'm going to wear the t-shirt. And I want everybody to know it. That's what baptism is. In the name of the triune God. Evangelism. Fellowship. And the last, discipleship. It says that we are to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the end of the age. To teach an individual to want to hear the Word of God, to want to read the Word of God every day, to study its truth every day with a pen in hand, studying it, writing down what the Spirit of God teaches you, memorizing it, putting it into the mind so that you can then meditate upon it. Think it through as if worrying, what am I going to do with this? How does the Lord want me to use this in my daily activities as a father, as a mother, as a grandfather, in my business and elsewhere? The very marching orders of the church with regard to worship, discipleship, fellowship, service and ministry, and evangelism missions. That's why our hearts beat. That is the heartbeat of a church. The question you have on your outline is, what has to happen for me to experience biblical community? What has to happen? Well, the same thing that Jesus says need to be a part of your daily life needs to be a part of the local church. And we see it in Acts chapter 2, where they experienced biblical community in a large setting and in a small one. It took both. Look with me in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves. That is, who was the they? It was the 3,000 people who had been saved on the day of Pentecost. And they'd been baptized. And they were then going to be trained to be soldiers of the cross. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that which Jesus had taught, probably even commentary on the Old Testament in the light of who Jesus is, to fellowship, that is to sharing of life, sharing the joys, the struggles, the difficulties, the heartaches, all of it. That fellowship was marked by the breaking of bread and prayer. That is, in participating in the Lord's Supper, as we will do today, reminding ourselves of the precious blood of Christ shed for us, the only person that could do it, and by His resurrection, He sealed a covenant with you and I, that you and I are forgiven of our sins. When we enter into relationship with Him, we can't mess that up because we didn't do anything to get it. And when we participate in the Lord's Supper, we remember who He was and what He did. These believers were remembering what Jesus had done just weeks after He'd been physically on the planet. They were devoted to it. That word devoted, it means they were persistent in it. They put intense effort. They were committed. Anybody remember the coach Lou Holtz? Lou Holtz was the coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, and later he was the coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And every year in training camp with his college football players, he would say to them, "Men, I need people on this team that are absolutely committed, not merely involved." Everybody remember kamikaze pilots? You remember what kamikaze pilots did? Suicide mission one time, right? Holt said to his team, "If you ever see a kamikaze pilot that's flown 50 missions, what you see before you is a man who's involved. He's just not committed." Not devoted. A commitment and a devotion is what Christ calls from you and I to be in His Word, to be speaking to Him, hearing from Him and speaking to Him. And He says here in verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. That's everyone. It wasn't just the church. It was others that were seeing, as recorded in the book of Acts, people who were being risen from the dead, healed of their sickness, casting out of the demonic. They saw God's supernatural work in their midst. And it says that everyone was filled with awe, with wonder, with magnificence. Certainly you could say, if I saw some of that stuff, man, I would be too. But the Spirit of God still works today. He still does amazing work in the changing of people's lives when God's people are devoted to Him, to love Him and to love the lost. As an individual and as a church, in large groups and in small, it says that these believers were together. They had everything in common. So much so that they sold their property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. That's amazing stuff. I mean, that's supernatural, generous Christianity. And many people I will hear, sometimes the TV preachers, that was just for the first century. There's a Greek word for that, baloney. No. That is to be a part of us, of Christians, of a local church, of small groups, to be willing to have an amazing generosity. What else? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That was in the Solomon's colonnade. They would meet in the temple, but then it also says that they would also break bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It was God that did the saving. But look what these people were doing. What was it that had influenced them? The Spirit of God, certainly. But what was going on? They saw a demonstration. Even those who were not believers saw a demonstration of sincere worship. They saw believers that were relationally unified. They saw people responding to the message of the apostles as they preached, and they included in the amazing miracles that have been a part of the life and ministry of Jesus. They looked on and saw the joyous, humble, loving attitude of those people who were lost, and they wanted to be a part of it. They were hungry for it. That's what God's church is. And that is what the local church in its large group and its small group would do. Once again, in each, this passage again, they demonstrated their love by all of these purposes that we mentioned lived out in the church. Every day. You may be thinking, you know, those five things, why are small home groups needed? Because of TLC. Are you saying you can't get tender loving care elsewhere in the church? Oh, that's not what we're saying. Because the TLC stands for something else, time. When you come together in a home, you're not under time constraints, necessarily. L, location. Meeting in a home just relaxes people. Today, folks, many people, if you will look across this country, they are not flooding into church. They're emptying out. Whether you are a small church or a mega church, whether you sing traditional hymns or amazingly contemporary music. In America today, many young people used to say when they left high school that you dropped out of the church. Today it starts in the 10th grade. You see, there is an opportunity for you and I, for people to see Christians up close and personal. On your outline there, there are four things that will characterize the small group which we are a part of. Don't worry. I see the fear in your face. We're not going to cover all of it today. Unfortunately for you, I'm doing this again next week. That's fair warning, okay? But the first is the little L, and that's what I want to talk to you about. In these home groups, it will be about learning and applying. Truly learning and applying the Scripture. Not for information. Life transformation. You see, it's not enough for the Word of God to be informative. It must be transformative in how you and I think and how we live when people are looking on and when they're not. I don't know about you, but most people I meet are like me, a little needy and a little nuts. My wife would say, in my case, a lot nuts. Praise God. Usher, remove this woman. Anyway, learning and applying the Scripture. You see, in life, you're going to follow something. You may follow the dictates of popular culture. You can do that. Fads, friends, following the crowd. It could be past tradition, what you've been taught by those who have come before you, parents and friends of bygone days. It could be profane secular thinking that you and I are the product of chance and evolution. It may be that you follow the idea of being party hardy, or whoever dies with the most toys wins, and whatever that profane philosophy is. You can follow that, or it can be a personal feeling. Today, young people say, that's my truth. You've got your truth. There's no such thing as objective truth. Well, What we have in the Scripture is something else entirely different. You know, by the way, I don't know about you, I lie to myself more than anybody else. You know, everybody else oftentimes, they rely on personal feeling. Every morning when I get up, when I look in the mirror, I say, "You're still a pretty good looking dude." And I ask the mirror, like in Snow White, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And every time the mirror says, "Not you." We oftentimes believe our own lies. We need to be following a perfect, all-knowing God. Where do you find that in Scripture? Oftentimes the question is, well, what is the purpose of Scripture? You may know, may not be informing you of anything. But there's really three things. The purpose of Scripture is for connecting with God individually and with Him as a church corporately. The Scripture is for communicating God's will and providing wisdom for the decisions of life. In our daily bread, the little devotional, I read the other day that the Daily Mirror, the British newspaper, says that in life, that you and I approximately make 773,618 decisions. I don't know how you know something like that. But it says also, of those decisions, we regret 143,262 of them. How many of you have regrets? I have a whole lot more than 140,000. And I'm here to tell you that every one of those regrets was because I wasn't following what God's Word said to do. I thought I knew. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know that that's just my problem. But the Word of God is for making the decisions of life. And some of those decisions are hard. There's a third thing. You have an enemy, Satan himself, and his demonic host that is in this world, and whether it's within you or around you or from Satan himself, you deal with temptation. Anybody here have temptation? I see by your hand not going up that I'm the only guy in the room that struggles with that. The Word of God is to help us to cope with it. Have you noticed, if you're like me, your mind doesn't always do what you tell it to do? I don't know, it's like a child. You have to discipline your child. Sometimes you have to make your child, you've got to make your child mind. You have to make your mind mind. You do that through the Word of God. His Word teaches us who He is, who we are, what this world is. It gives us instruction for the decision-making of life. And it also helps us with struggles of temptation. And you know what? I bet everyone of you in this room already knew that. But it's not what you know. It's not how much you know. It's what you do with what you know. In a smaller group, it's the opportunity with 8 to maybe 12 people to analyze if the Word of God is giving into the life of people, whether the fruit of the Spirit is being manifested. In Scripture, just one passage. Why do we do this? Why should we be so concerned that the Scripture gets into our mind and life on Sunday morning or in an adult Bible fellowship? And by the way, they're doing a great job in there. If you don't go there, you ought to check that out. But also in a smaller group, why is it so important? Because 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, not on your outline, you know it. All Scripture, all of it is God-breathed. God's book is God's voice. And it is useful, advantageous, beneficial for teaching, that is, showing us the right path. For rebuking, pointing out where we go wrong. For correcting to get us back off the detour and back on the path. And training in righteousness so that the man and woman of God will be adequate, will be complete. That's just the L. But let me ask you this. The Scripture is to be for transformation. You know in Scripture, do not love the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Metamorphosis, to be changed from within and out. You know how that works, right? Metamorphosis, it's like a caterpillar to a butterfly, tadpole to a frog, cow to burger. You know, it's a complete, complete transformation. I don't know about you. I've been a pastor for 28 years. And I've preached the Word of God. There is so much yet to apply. And the people who have helped me the most, who have been people who have been able to lovingly get in my face and say, you're not as good as you think you are. Here's what needs to change in your attitude and in your actions. In these home groups, we will be learning the Word of God. We'll move through the book of Philippians. We're going to do some other things. But it's not going to be just taking information and writing it down. I'm going to be leading them. I'm going to be asking on a weekly basis, where's the fruit of the Spirit in your life this week? Love, joy, and peace. That is, how are you doing with God? Because if you're doing well with God, love and joy and peace characterize your life. If you're not, it's the vices listed up above that. It's probably causing the problem. I mean, things like sexual sin, perhaps. Social sin in your relationships with other people. There's also substance abuse sin that's listed there. Both drugs and alcohol. But sometimes it's a sacrilegious sin. There's something else that you've made God in your life. And in these groups, we'll have an opportunity with gentle accountability to encourage every one of us to be the kind of people when the church was in its prime in Acts 2, so that when you and I encounter people and we invite them in to that group, they're going to say that, hey, those people are a little needy and they're a little messed up, but they love Jesus Christ. And I don't know what it is they've got, but I can't stay away. I hope that you will sign up to be a part of these groups. We're going to have a sign-up sheet. Maybe you're here today and you're really thinking, man, I don't know if I have the time. I don't know if that's really what I want to do. And listen, sometimes we all have to make those choices. But I want to encourage you that you will be a part of it. Not by anything I would do, but what God does. That can help you can have a spiritual adrenaline rush. That can help each of us to be stronger Christians and a stronger church. Would you bow with me for a moment before we go to the Lord's Supper? Master, I pray that you will help every one of us to be people who put a smile on your face. I don't know about everyone here. I know there are many times, whether in action or in attitude, I don't put the smile on your face. Lord, I pray that you will help, your blessing will fall upon this church and help us in the meetings that we have here, and the large group meetings and the medium-sized meetings and even home meetings. Lord, to be a place where people's lives are changed, are challenged, encouraged and strengthened. To have the freedom to be honest about where we are with you and in life. To have people that they can actually bring their sometimes not only their joys, but their greatest heartaches and difficulties that they may not want anyone else to know, so that each could pray and love them and they can love in return. So Lord, we pray that this is a tool that perhaps you could use for your glory, your kingdom. I pray you will encourage your church to be a part of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bruce. As Bruce kind of let you know, we're going to transition now into a time of the Lord's Supper. So if you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand. There's some gentlemen in the back who would get those to you. I think this is a very fitting way for us to conclude the service, especially after the message this morning. Because I think one of the things that's easy for us to do is to feel like what we're doing, the structure of the church, the things that we do are just a social aspect. And I think what Bruce is trying to hammer home, and I hope that you are hearing this, is that for you to be able to move into and more intimate relationship with the Lord, the content of what you know has to come out through your fingertips. It's got to be something you do. And we're going to remember here at communion, we're going to remember a powerful, powerful thing. And how often for us this can become rote. This can be something we just do. Do you realize, think about it for a second, do you know where you would be right now if it wasn't for what Christ did for you on the cross? I don't know where you'd be, but I know where I'd be. It'd be in a pretty bad place. And so as we celebrate communion, it's a reminder for us of the fact that the Lord has put us in a place to have an intimate relationship with Him, which we could not have done on our own. If you reveal the plastic piece and take that off, and there's a white wafer inside. And what we're doing now is we're remembering the fact that Jesus was willing to allow Himself to be crucified so that we could have an intimate relationship with the Lord through Him. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup. And He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And He concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until He comes again."
Let's stand and sing again before we leave today.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts.
become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your
information about the short-term mission trips that are going on. I invite you to go over to the fellowship hall and just hear some more information about that. I do really want to encourage you to think very deeply about these good news communities. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to start some training this week. We've got just a lot of plans in place for these. This is going to be a great atmosphere. It's probably going to be an atmosphere that's a little bit different than like even what you're anticipating it to be. But I think it's a strong step forward for our church. I told when I first started candidating the church, I said my leadership style is I'm usually the first one in the water, and then I try to encourage people to jump in. Well, I'm in the water with these good news communities. I'm in. The waters, jump on in. The water's fine. It's going to be a really great experience. And what I think Pastor Bruce is trying to tell you, and maybe this resonates within your heart, is that there's an element of this meeting in homes where you can be really real and open with people that most other formats you can't do. So we're pushing this. Come on in. The water's fine. Now all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.